And hello again. Welcome to another edition of the Mountain View Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Trammell. It's February 16th, joined as always by
Todd Reynolds. Good to be with you, Steve.
Todd, it's good to be back with you, man. It's we had a week off. You were not feeling well last week.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough. We had plans to do a cast, and actually you were on a ministry of mercy for Miss June last Wednesday night, where the cast wasn't going to happen anyways unless we did it in the wee hours of Thursday morning,
which we can do. But I mean, things degrade, you know, as it gets later, and our three listeners don't deserve that.
Yeah, exactly. We've got to bring at least our B game and not our Z game.
Well, you know,
Z is for Z's when you're asleep.
People need instruction. And if anything, I hope my kids listen to the rest of these at some point in the future, because most of them are for them. Like, they need instruction. I mean, I about spanked, I mean, as you saw, two small children upstairs earlier because they were miserable about something. And all that needs to be known to the podcast world is that my wife was fixing them food.
If you don't stop crying, I'm going to wear you out.
I mean, she's literally fixing them food and they're coming unglued.
Yeah. I was a little scared,
you know, but
especially with that beard now, I bet your kids are
a little more intimidated.
They need to be intimidated. All this facial hair.
I need to set the right expectations for them because, you know, they complain a lot, but I think you generally complain because you have some misalignment of what's real and what's not. I mean, with kids especially, and I didn't teach them this, but apparently they've learned that if you go into a store, it is required that you can just buy stuff.
Just whatever you want, just get it.
And I feel bad because, you know, we're going into Walmart, we have like two or three things we need to get, and then Amelia like hands me something like, hey, Dad, can we get this? Well, no, we can't. And they're kind of used to me saying, no, we can't. But the fact that we're still having to have those dialogues.
Yeah, the fact that you still actually have to say the word no.
Well, and then this is the follow-up.
You probably should work with them on a look where you can just look at them and they know that means no.
That's the beard. Like, you're done.
10-4.
Just like,
keep your mouth closed, no teeth, no, eyebrows down.
Well, and then they get this little pocket change money from, you know, the holidays or their birthdays or Valentine's Day. And this is what they always do. Well, can I use my own money? And this is why I say back, you don't even know where your money is.
Yeah.
No one knows. They all have this money.
But Dad, I was just hoping to borrow it and I'll pay you back when we get home.
Man, they just need. And so I tell them, here's the expectation. When we go into this store, don't touch anything. Don't ask me anything. We have a mission and we're going to accomplish it.
Speak when spoken to.
That's another good one. So, you know, as you think about spiritual things, you had a good idea for the podcast tonight. That's something you had thought about, preached about, and man, it's a good one.
It's just something that we need to remember, and that's what you're going through with your kids right now, is setting the right expectations. And the whole idea of expectations, we just think something should be a certain way. We have expectations of God. And we have expectations of people around us. We're in family relationships. We have expectations of our spouse. We have expectations of our kids. We have expectations of our church family. And after all, you know, our church family is this group of people who are all talking about how much they love Jesus. So guess what? I should get treated pretty good. That's my expectation. And there's a lot of teaching in the Bible that can help us understand what our expectations should be. And then there's also teaching in the Bible, and we'll look at a couple of examples tonight, but there's also teaching in the Bible that lets us know what God's expectation is of us. And in the examples I want us to look at tonight, there's what I would call an expectation gap. And two parties have different expectations of what should happen in a certain situation. And it's just like Hanson and Steele, when they have a certain expectation and it's not met, what happens?
I didn't even care what their expectation was.
No, I know. They do.
You can't even hear your mother.
They need to be taught of what a new expectation should be. But my point is, when there's an expectation gap, someone's disappointed. Someone's unhappy. Someone is discontented. And maybe there just needs to be a change in the expectation.
Man, this is going to be a hard podcast. And not hard because we can't understand it. Hard because we can understand it. And
yeah.
And we it do is, understand it because it's not a kid problem.
Yeah.
It's an adult problem. Now, as we think about like diving off the board into the waters of the podcast, help me with where you think we go wrong sometimes with expectations. Because, you know, it would be easy for us to just be like, oh, well, someone was fed some lies at some point and that kind of colored their expectation. But I almost feel like we start out with this paradigm of selfishness, which in general sets the bar too high that the world revolves around me. And anytime I'm inconvenienced, burdened, frustrated, it's not what I want, then something is wrong. Like right. Something's wrong with the world. And so I think we just sort of need to lay that baseline. Like, where do expectations come from?
Well, and I think we've already started to touch on it, but we have this fundamental desire for things and to take care of ourselves and to get what we want. And that happens from the earliest ages, right? All of us only know what it's like to be us, and we want certain things. And then at young ages, I think you as a parent, you're going through this with your kids now. You go into Walmart, they want something, or you want to buy them something. I want to buy you guys some cereal. What's the expectation? Are we going to get cornflakes? Well, in our society, you go down an entire row at Walmart that's like 50 feet long with literally 100 different kinds of cereal. And all of a sudden the expectation is I should get the most perfect, delicious, wonderful, colorful cereal that's going to actually help my self-esteem in some way. And I think from the earliest ages, if we as parents don't guard against children having these expectations that you can literally have the perfect thing all the time, kids in our society today start to think that that is a reality. And then all of a sudden, you know, you become an adult and you're 20 years down the road and all of a sudden you realize, hey, guess what? The world's not perfect and my expectations aren't always going to be met because people aren't rolling out a red carpet for me the same way my mom did when I was 7. And then boom.
It's something that is innate. And it's important, I think, that we just lay that out there because I've tried, and Anna's tried too, to really quell the expectations of the kids.
Yeah.
Like, we're not the biggest birthday party, you know, it's your time.
Yep.
You know, I'm fairly heartless. I mean, it's like with 5 kids, you can't do a birthday party every year for everyone.
Yeah.
Like, no one would care. Your own parents wouldn't want to come. So, like, every few years, you're going to have a party, you know, when you're 5. You know, and can remember something, maybe you can have a party. But I think sometimes when stuff happens one time, it can almost set these expectations where they expect, because it happened once,
yeah,
it can happen again.
Yeah.
And
it can, and it should, and it will.
Like, so even little bits can tend to set some expectations, and we've got this just extremely high bar for ourselves. And so part of it's innate, part of it is learned, right? If we are feeding the beast, creating spoiled people.
Yeah, exactly.
We ourselves are spoiled. Culturally, we're fed that. I mean, I guess that would be a sub point to number 2, but maybe number 3, where we're told, Todd, you deserve this.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I would kind of call it a sub point of number 2, because I think you walk down Walmart and you have 100 choices and you got to pick the perfect thing. You got to pick the perfect clothes and the perfect food at the restaurant or the perfect cereal. But then the media, right, does the second thing you're saying, this influence. You watch a TV show and you get to see someone who has this perfect life with the perfect clothes and the perfect food and the perfect friends and the perfect car and the perfect parents and the perfect house. And it's just like, then those expectations are formed not only by, you know, trying to pick Lucky Charms at Walmart, but also this vision or portrayal of the world that's not even real. It's a mirage. It's an optical illusion. But it's a dangerous thing that can shape people's expectations.
And one more thing before we jump in, I struggle with stuff like this. And, you know, as a minister, people may sit back and think, you know, I wonder what his secret sins are. Well, mine aren't so secret. And, you know, I'll just give you an example. This morning, I mean, I was struggling with having to take my car into the shop. So our van, brake problems, 3 brake jobs within a year or so. I mean, just a lot of pain.
Yeah, I'm part of that problem. So
it wasn't your problem.
My apologies.
You know, something was botched with one of the calipers. And so I get the earliest possible appointment, 7 a.m. to go to the service center. Now, here's the problem. I can't go to the service center here at Nissan in Cumming because they don't do warranty work on the big vans. So I have to drive to Buford, which is, you know, 40 minutes away.
Oh, man. I'm hurting.
You know, so 6 o'clock, I'm headed there. I want to be the first appointment so I can get back in time for work. So I get there, and, you know, the bleary-eyed technician, you know, support lady's taking me in, and she gets my keys, and she says, yeah, I don't think the guy that looks at calipers and stuff is in yet. So I was like, well, when do you expect him in?
What did you emphasize the word expect? Like,
no, I'm having to think, you know, I've got to be a Christian. Like, I'm literally telling myself these thoughts. Like, I have got to demonstrate the kindness of Jesus here. So I'm just like,
was he going to come in today?
I'm glad somebody will take a look eventually. So they have the bays in windows where I can just go see that for hours, no one's even looking at my car. It's not there. I mean, and I'm having to tell myself, and this is what I know is going to happen. They're not going to cover it under warranty. Like, they're going to find out that this is my fault, and, you know, we're not going to cover it. And here I've been here 3 or 4 hours. So, you know, they come back and tell me, you know, we don't have the part today. We're going to get it tomorrow. And so I'm like, okay, that's no problem. You know, I'll bring it back tomorrow. And they said, well, we can't let you drive it because it's so bad.
Oh, nice.
So I said,
what do you mean you can't let me? Like, it's my car.
It's, you know, like the brake is gone. Like, it'll just pull you into the other lane of traffic potentially. It's not good. And so I said, you know, that's fine. Do you have a rental or something I can borrow?
I need a loaner.
No, we don't have any. Here's what I'll do.
I'll let you walk home.
No, I'll let you call Enterprise. And if they have a Nissan, you know, we can pay for it. We can cover it. But it has to be a Nissan. Well, Enterprise doesn't have any Nissans. So then they say,
well, let's call someone other than Enterprise.
Well, we got a shuttle. And I was like, oh, that's cool. He's like, where do you live? I said, well, I live in Cumming. And he said, well, our shuttle only goes 5 miles. So look, at this point, all I'm saying is, it is everything I can do, knowing Jesus, to continue to operate with just kindness and patience and love to these people that, you know, they're just doing their job, you know, they're just telling me whatever it is that they were told. So I don't want to belabor any of this, but I want you to appreciate we have these innate expectations in our minds, and when we're constantly let down, maybe I should have expected that. Maybe I should expect that it's going to be a one-star experience or things aren't going to go well.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I should go into it knowing, well, maybe I shouldn't go in at 7 because they might not have anybody there yet. Maybe it'll be better to go in later. So from your perspective, we want to talk about spiritual things.
Yeah, we do. And there's a lot that we could say about your example. Certainly there's a lot of times when lower expectations is a good thing. But I think it also is something that at times in certain relationships, we certainly need to be careful with expecting too much or too little. But tonight,
we want the right
expectations. Exactly. We want the right expectations. And I think we've got to work and mature to the point to make progress in having something that looks closer to what it should be. But we want to look for a few minutes tonight at 2 Kings 5 with the story of Naaman. And in that story, we see this leader in the Syrian army, Naaman, who has leprosy, and he needs to be cured, right? He has this disease. He has this problem. And there's a servant girl in the story who laments the fact that her master, Naaman, is not able to meet up with the man of God in Israel who could do something for him. And he has some expectations. And tonight's podcast, I think we might want to do one or two different podcasts on this idea of expectations. But tonight's podcast, we really want to think about what we expect of God and what God expects of us. And the story of Naaman is this classic example of someone that had certain expectations of God. And let's just kind of pick up the reading there in 2 Kings chapter 5.
Yeah, you mean read it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll...
You can even start with verse 3. I kind of talked through some of that.
Verse 3. She said to her mistress, I wish that my master were with the prophet who's in Samaria. Then he'd cure him of his leprosy. Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus spoke the girl who was from the land of Israel." Then the king of Aram said, "Go, I'll send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. Those are early fees for a doctor there.
Yeah, there you go.
High dollar. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "And now as this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes. I said, "Am I God to kill and make alive? This man sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? But consider now and see how he's seeking a quarrel against me." And it happened when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent word to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Now let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots, and he stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be clean." But Naaman was furious and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not the Abana and the Parphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Can I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Then his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, had the prophet not told you some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean.
Yeah, that's a great story, and I think it's probably pretty clear to see where we're going with this. But this man has leprosy. He has an opportunity to go meet with this man of God. It's kind of interesting how the king of Israel's part to play is pretty minor, and you know, he's feeling like he's in big trouble. Of course, he's not got the relationship with God to do the work that Elisha's doing. But I really want to focus on this guy, Naaman. He goes to visit Elisha. He's got this expectation that he's going to be healed. That expectation has been built up.
Well, one thing, we just skipped over a big expectation here. I mean, where did he go? He went to the king.
Oh, right.
Like, his expectation is, dude, the biggest political figure going to be the one that can do anything.
Right.
And with God, it's not the political figure, right? It's the priest in the hovel.
Right.
It's the guy on the outskirts.
Right.
It's the John the Baptist. I mean, it's not who you're thinking.
Yeah.
And so his number one wrong expectation was that if I have a bunch of money and go talk to the biggest guy, I can get anything done.
Yeah.
And it's not so with God.
Well, and that's a good point. We don't need to get off on a political rabbit trail for too long, but we certainly need to be careful about expecting too much of our government, expecting too much of political figures, because that's just not where you're going to find any results.
Well, and associate that with the church, right? It's not the outside. It's not the biggest. It's not the best. Like, those things aren't always where you're going to find the word of God. And whenever I see, you know, like the news and they quote some Christian pastor, it's always somebody like from the biggest, you know, church in America.
Right.
But dude, you might find the word of God more accurately spoken on the outskirts of town,
right,
at a small place.
Right.
There you might find a prophet in Israel. Yeah. So sometimes we just, from a worldly expectation, well, these guys speak for the people.
Right.
And this guy, like, I'm not your guy.
Yeah. So that's a great little point to interject there. And then, you know, as you continue past his interaction with the king of Israel and he gets to Elisha, you know, it's kind of funny to me. I love how the text says in verse 10, Elisha sent a messenger to him saying,
"Ooh,"
like Elisha doesn't even come out.
Do you ever deal with this at work? 'Cause I deal with it being in corporate America. like certain levels of people will only want to talk to other levels of people.
Yeah.
Like if there's a vice president on a phone call and you send just a lowly manager, like a level one, level two to talk to them.
Yeah.
I have had people tell me this is inappropriate, that your boss would not show up and just send you like, to handle it.
I don't want to just talk to you.
That's how it is, right? Yeah. You have this expectation that he already has been kind of pushed away from the king thing.
Right.
So he's already feeling bad.
Right.
All right, I got to go talk to this other guy.
Right.
So you can only imagine his mental state when he gets to Elisha's house, because from everything we know about Elisha in the second half of Kings 5,
right.
He's not blowing it out of the box, right? He's not got the fanciest, mansion.
That's just not his thing.
It's not the time for that. So he's probably standing in front of this hut.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, well, show me this great prophet. And it's not even a prophet that comes out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just the servant. And Elisha's like, I don't even need to go talk to this guy. He can get what he needs through my servant. Of course, God's power is the one that's going to do it. But all of this is kind of pointing to Naaman's expectations. And then particularly the instruction that he receives, go wash in the Jordan 7 times. It's just not what he wants to hear. It's not what he expects to hear. And what emotion is invoked in this man?
So New American Standard says he's furious. And I don't think it was just...
I will not be treated this way.
It wasn't just the waters.
Don't you know who I am?
It's a culmination, I think, of... That's the third disappointment.
Yeah.
You know... And he's sitting here, just imagine, in front of your house, imagine someone coming with this entourage of gold,
money,
and just all this stuff, and people and things, and they're literally at your front door, and you won't even get off your couch to come say, hey.
Yeah, like I traveled halfway around the world.
That'd be like me having my three-year-old just say, yeah, it's go right up there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even going to talk to you. And so his expectations are just so far off. Based on the world's expectations, right? He is somebody.
Right.
And culturally, his own inner selfishness, he's finally reached his breaking point. Like, I am too good for this.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And that's really where we kind of want to take the podcast, because ultimately his expectations for this experience is what he expects of God and how he expects to be treated. And what he expects his experience to be like. And when he comes into contact with this prophet of God, and through the prophet of God, he comes into contact with God, his first reaction is extreme anger. He's furious. He's filled with rage. And when people go to talk to him about it, these servants see what's happened. The amazing words to me that come out of his mouth that are telling is, behold, I thought something totally different was going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's the expectation gap, right? The expectation gap happens when we have a view of reality that is different than reality. We have a view of what we think is reality, and it's not real. It's just our perception.
Yeah, it's so important that every Christian reflects on and holds to and strives to find the truth. Truth destroys expectations. Yeah. You know, expectations are a false reality. Expectations are our perception of truth. But truth itself will just blow everything up. And as a Christian, I mean, we were prepping for the podcast. I mean, I reminded you of Ephesians 5. You know, don't be unwise, but wise, understanding what the will of the Lord is.
Yeah.
Like, as a Christian, that's our number one job, is to just understand the will of God. When we understand God, it resets expectations.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the truth always sets you free. And he saw a little bit of these expectations, right? He had his expectations changed by the truth. The number one expectation is nothing can be done about this illness, right? That was his first expectation.
Right.
Like, nobody can cure leprosy, you know? And so it has changed his life. He's a valiant warrior, but now his whole world is sidetracked because of this not only debilitating, but ostracizing disease.
Right.
You know, he's outside. And so the expectation is nothing can be done. Well, the servant that knows God She gives them a little bit of truth. Let me reset your expectations. Something can be done if you just knew the God of Israel.
That's right. If you go visit the man of God who is connected to God.
Yeah. And so finally, he gets another little thing of truth, like, all right, it can be cured. Here's what you need to do. And this is going to be free.
Yeah. Go wash in the Jordan 7 times.
That's it. I mean, it should be the most like liberating thing.
Right.
But he's not happy with it.
Right.
You know, and so, but the truth is trying to temper his expectations.
Right.
But man, sometimes the expectations are so powerful, like even when it's to our benefit.
Right. And that's where I think we need to kind of drill into what his expectations are. So I was emphasizing his initial reaction where he says in verse 11, behold, I thought, well, what did he think? You know, he says, the man of God, you know, I thought the man of God was going to come out and he was going to call on the name of his God and is going to wave his hand over the place. And what he was expecting was some drama. He was expecting a show. He was expecting for his senses to be wowed, right? That shock and awe. You know, let's kind of provoke the emotional response here, because you know we like and Naaman kind of wanted or expected something where his jaw was going to drop and his eyes were going to get a little bit bigger because this man of God was going to be, you know, shouting these loud incantations and waving his hands and doing something with some type of dramatic effect. And that's where we need to be careful about our expectations of God and from God, expecting some big, great, wonderful manifestation. Look, God is God. He created the heavens and the earth. He created everything that we see around us. He can shock us and he can awe us in any number of different ways if he chooses to do so. But a lot of times, if we have those expectations, that's not what God's plan is. You know, that's just the opposite of the character that he demonstrates many times.
It's man's expectations.
Yeah.
Like when because he's riding on his horse or donkey or whatever, he's headed down there and he's playing this out in his mind.
Yeah.
Like obviously no one's told him this, but he's thinking, I wonder what it's going to be like. It's going to be good.
And no, so there's going to be some shock and awe.
He's talked himself into this, and maybe it's how things were done in Aram. You know, maybe some pagan deities.
Right.
It's a big show. I mean, you remember a few chapters earlier in 1 Kings, with Elijah and the prophets on Mount Carmel,
right?
Their show was a lot different than Elijah's show, right? You remember their show? I mean, they're jumping and leaping and cutting themselves. I mean, they're screaming and all this stuff. And I remember Elijah joking with him, like, maybe he can't hear you, you know?
Right,
Like,
maybe he's gone on a journey.
Maybe he's out of town. So I think—
Maybe he's asleep.
These expectations have come from somewhere.
Right.
But God wants to blow those up. And let's just make it real for us today. I mean, how do you think people have these different expectations when they come to God of what God wants or what things are going to be like?
I mean, I think sometimes it is expecting, like Naaman expected too much from God. His expectations were too high. God was going to do something very simple and something very small. It was going to be very powerful, but it wasn't going to be in the way that Naaman expected. So I think we can do the same thing today. We can have some expectations of a church.
Yeah.
You know, I was texting with a buddy of mine in Florida, Bo Hurt, who I went to high school with, and he talked about some guy going to some church in Tampa and saying, you know, the church is like Disney World. Well, it might be a good godly church. I don't know any details about it, but in general, church is not Disney World.
No one would think our church is Disney World.
No. If you come visit us at the Mountain View Church,
it's the shuttle bus that takes you to somewhere else.
Yeah, 10-4. But you see where I'm going with that. I mean, how could people have expectations like Naaman today? Well, expecting too much of a church family. You know, there's a lot of great, awesome, wonderful blessings that come from a godly church family. But it's not Disney World. It's not 24/7 entertainment. It's not daycare for my kids so I can have some adult interaction. It's God. It's worshiping God. It's having a family of God that you
it's
lean
spiritual
on.
Yeah, not physical.
Yeah, it's definitely spiritual, and God, I think, minimizes the physical things. Jesus certainly minimized the physical things in his ministry, and you look at how God deals with Naaman. you know, it's like, just go to the Jordan. And Naaman, his expectation when the servants come to him, the response of Naaman is, there's a lot better places, rivers for me to go wash in, but that's just the physical effect that he's looking for. Well, and so we got to be careful about that.
Let's talk about that more for just a minute, because it is so important for especially kids to understand this. Because when you're looking at church and you're just seeing, hey, this sign says church, that sign says church, what do I want from a church? It's almost like, what would Naaman want if he's coming down south to get healed in Israel and there's three healers there? One of them says, hey, come down this dirty river and wash. The other one says, no, make a trek to Sinai where Jehovah lived and reach the top and the pinnacle and you'll be healed. And this other one's like, yeah, we're going to go to the Mediterranean and we're going to dip here after we take a cruise. Well, if you get to pick,
yeah,
we know what Naaman's picking, right?
Let's take a cruise.
I mean, something great. Like, I got this money, I can do it, this is big. And people have these options today. And I just want to remind you of a simple truth. And I was talking to my kids about it the other day, 1 Corinthians 11. You know, spirituality was so important in worship to God.
Right.
It is the primary thing. And people in 1 Corinthians 11 had been abusing one of the most important aspects of our worship to God, the communion. And they had turned it into a meal where they're eating.
Yeah.
And in doing so, it kind of became a problem because people are bringing food. And like Naaman, some people have a lot, other people don't have any. And this unifying experience has taken a toll on the congregation and it's defiled the Lord's Supper.
Right.
He said it's so much of a problem that some of you are weak and sick. Some of you sleep, like talking about spiritually.
Yeah, spiritually, like, you're just unconscious.
Yeah. And here's his solution. He said, look, do you not have houses to eat in?
Right.
Like, don't come here for judgment. Like, if you're hungry, he says, let him eat at home. And I remind people of that because this was a serious enough problem even in the first century that Paul said, I want to divide the spiritual from the physical,
right,
so that you don't come together for judgment.
Right.
He said, you are worse off. It's better for you not to have gotten together. You know, you're not coming together for the better, but for the worse.
Right.
And so I point those things out because you can get lulled into, I'm an Israel healer over here. This is it. Like, this is it. And you're drawn to it. But if you don't have your expectation tempered by God's will,
yeah,
then you're just following your own dream.
Right.
And your expectations are being met by people that want to meet your expectations.
Yeah, exactly. And they want to meet your expectations that are not the right expectations. And they want to give you something that may be attractive from an earthly, physical, this life perspective. And that's just not where God's blessings are.
And I'm not indicting any particular person, but I will say principally, God warned us about this in 1 Timothy 6, because some evil people think godliness is a means of great gain.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and they see the Naamans with the money, and they think, I can meet his need.
Yeah, exactly.
Is this what you want?
Because guess what? His money's green, and I like it.
Right, and so God warns us, like, true Christianity is avoiding, like, flee from these things, that the love of money, the root of all evil, like, no. You teach the rich to be ready to share.
Yeah.
And, you know, here God is tempering this worldly expectation of Naaman. We see that mirrored in the church. Like, this isn't a place where, like James says, we elevate the rich and you disdain the poor. Like, no, there's some equality here. Like,
yeah, exactly. When you honor the rich man and dishonor the poor man, he says, are you not committing sin and showing partiality?
Judges with evil motives.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't want to riff on that too long, but it's important. Like, because people are out there.
I think it's a good riff.
People are out there just thinking, how do I want to be healed?
Right.
And so just imagine, like, we're in this world and we've got to find God's expectations. Like, who do I need to seek out? Well, he needed to get to Elisha.
You need to get someone who's going to give you the word of God. And I would just say, when you think about your salvation experience, here's what I have for you. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Go dip in some water.
Like that's it. That's it, right? Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's Jesus, right? That's the Son of God telling you what to do. Is it some great dramatic experience? You know, we've seen a lot of baptisms.
That's right.
They're awesome, but they're not exciting. I mean, they're exciting, but only when we understand the spiritual reality of what's happening. From a physical perspective, it's like, okay, here, I'm going to immerse you in water.
Right. There's nothing.
You're going to get very wet here. Hold your nose. And
right. There's nothing exciting about it.
Yeah.
In the sense, from a world standpoint, it's one of the most humbling things.
Yeah. And really one of the least exciting things you could probably come up with.
Right. Is to, I need you to go back down in water like you're being buried.
Yeah.
And then you're going to come back up and you're going to be a new person. That image only matters because God gave it meaning.
Exactly. Exactly. And Romans 6 teaches us about the depth of the meaning, you know, as Jesus was raised from the dead, which is a pretty awesome thing. So you too may walk in newness of life. It's a great thing. It's an awesome thing. But the baptism itself is pretty, you know,
It's underwhelming.
Underwhelming.
Well, and let me say this other thing about baptism too. It was never intended in the Bible to be a big event for everybody, right? It was never this thing that is like, you know, thousands of people are gathered to watch you get baptized and, you know, it's a celebration of your commitment to God. It was something that you did upon your conversion and it was between you and God. It was, you think about the Philippian jailer, I mean, the same hour of the night.
Right.
You know, you think about, the Ethiopian eunuch, you know, hey, here's water. We're just on the side of the road. You know, what hinders me from getting baptized? And it leads me to the, you know, middle of the night baptisms that we've done for people that have their hearts pricked and they want to become a Christian and they want their sins forgiven and they want to make that confession tonight. And
right.
We don't tell them, you know, I appreciate it, but you got to have a spectacle for the church.
We got to have some drama.
Yeah. So
we got to have something with some big effect.
So hold on with me. We're going to have a baptism service at the end of the month. And then everybody can watch it. We'll film it and I'll put it on our website.
Yeah.
That was not.
Yeah, no.
That was never it. It's like Philip said, do you believe with all your heart?
Right. Exactly.
If you believe with all your heart, you may.
Yeah. Like we can get this done right now.
And so, you know, that's one thing we practice, but I think we practice it because that's just what the Bible did. And so it's less of a man's excitement, you know, a man's standpoint, how we would design it.
Right.
But it's just what God wanted. And when we approach God with his expectations, then our expectations are met.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot here. I mean, we may just do this one point. We can do another podcast in the New Testament as far as God's expectations of us. But a minute ago, you were talking about truth being injected into man's expectations. So the little servant girl, she injects a little bit of truth. Hey, go talk to the man of God in Israel. And then the servant of Elisha injects some truth and says, go wash in the Jordan 7 times. Well, we still have this huge expectation gap. And there's a lot of disappointment here from Naaman. And to bridge the expectation gap, we have this last nugget of truth that comes from the humble servants who will talk to Naaman. And they just come to him with a really simple thing. It's like, Master, if the man had asked you to do some big, awesome thing, something big, you would have done it and not even thought twice about it. Why would you think twice about the fact that he asked you to do something little, something easy, something that we can literally go get done in the next 10 minutes and have the desired result? So in the story, you just see truth continuing to pound away at man's expectations of God. And the lesson for us is to keep listening to truth. Keep listening to God. Keep listening to God's word. Keep listening to people who you know are rooted and grounded in the word of God, because your expectations are going to need to be modified, and then they're going to need to be modified again, and then they're going to need to be modified again. And if you continually let your expectations be modified, at some point, your expectations might be in line with God's, and you might go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and you might be healed. And that's the great story of Naaman. Is it has a happy ending, but only when the expectation gap is bridged. God didn't send Elisha's servant to Naaman and say, hey, I was just kidding about go wash in the Jordan 7 times. We're going to do what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
We're going to go
to
the Pharpar River and you can, you know, do a couple of backflips and then you'll be healed. It still had to absolutely happen God's way. God's expectations in this story never changed, never moved. And when we humble ourselves. And that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have for dessert, maybe every night this week, a slice of humble pie. And
it's not pie. Let's call it something else.
call it what you want to. It's like a mud pie.
It's a mud pie.
I mean, that's called pie. But the point is, we're going to have to humble ourselves, allow ourselves to be humbled, swallow our pride, crucify our own ego, and do it God's way. And guess what? Then there's life, peace, joy, happiness, fulfillment, security, contentment, you know, all the things that man ultimately is striving for.
Let me explain at the end here, and I'll leave you with this. 1 Kings 19, this is God. He tells Elijah in his most broken moments, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord.
This is good. Guys, listen to this.
And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. And listen to this. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Mm. So just reflect on this for a minute. Man's expectations of God would be, all right, guys, all right, I want you to stand here and I want you to wait on God. God is coming. And then it's like this tumultuous wind is coming down, destroying the mountains. But Elijah didn't move.
Right.
Like when it says Elijah, you know, when it says the Lord was not in the wind, Elijah knew this.
Mm.
Like he's not going out there. Like this is not my God.
Yeah.
The earthquake, you know, the fire, I mean, this all this stuff, like he doesn't move. But when he hears just this little, still blowing, this is God. He wraps himself up and goes and listens to a word from the Lord. And I just want you to appreciate God's expectations are never going to be man's expectations.
Right.
And God does that for a reason. Like Todd said, he wants to humble us so that we can be ready to accept those things that he wants us to say. And as long as religion is about me, there will be people peddling religions that will meet every need you have.
That's right.
And blowing the trumpets and banging on things and earthquakes and fires. But that still small church that may be out there breathing the word of God is going to be right there if you're willing to listen. And so, man, just align with God's expectations and not expect too much of God that God doesn't even expect of himself or you.
Yeah.
Sometimes he's weeding out the wheat from the chaff with this.
Yeah, exactly. So beware of your own expectations of God, and certainly in this case, expecting too much of God, as Naaman did, was not the right answer. It was not the right course. But when we are humble enough to say, I can do whatever God's expectation is, and you find out what it is, and you're just happy to be submissive and obedient, it's gonna be a life of blessings.
Yeah, read your Bible. I mean, that's it. That's God's expectations. And when you find it, God's already told you, and then you just make sure that is aligning with your expectations too. Yeah. And it's real easy, right? When you go into a place and you know what God's expectations are, you can rightly divide the word. Well, this isn't it.
And if you go into a church and you're experiencing spiritual things, the word of God is being taught, and it's a spiritual service, it may not be as dramatic as some, you know, big mega church that has a lot of entertainment options. That met your expectations. Look for that which is spiritual. Look for that which is biblical. Look for that which is scriptural. And
you might not like it. Your family may not like it. Your kids may not like it. But God likes it, because ultimately we just want healed.
Yeah, and you're going to ultimately like it, just like Naaman ultimately liked the fact that he went home. I mean, he's pumped. We didn't have time to read the rest of the story, but he's pumped. He's wanting to give all this gold and silver. I was talking about his money being green. It's not green, it's gold.
Well, he's taking some dirt home too, like solid, he's taking gold. All the souvenirs.
Yeah. Look, I'll give you all this money if you just give me a shovel full of dirt.
Give me some dirt. I'll remember this place. So yeah, the ultimate goal is healing from God.
That's right.
And once we reach God's expectations with ours, good things will happen. So, Todd, thanks for tonight, man. 45 minutes, dude.
Yeah, let's, yeah. So we'll wrap up, but we'll do another podcast on some more on this topic of expectations sometime soon. God bless.